think we all have some kind of food addiction to some degree. I don't think it's just certain people that struggle with that. I think most of us kind of have some of those feelings and those desires. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's something that we have the choice to either overcome that or sometimes give into it. And I think there's a time for both, depending on what's going on in your life.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by LarClean. A while ago, my wife and I decided that we were going to permanently switch to solutions to clean our house that were safe to use around our kids and our pets. And LarClean offers exactly that. They're powerful enough to be used in a medical setting and safe enough to be used around kids. In fact, there's no bleach, no alcohol, and it still kills 99% of germs. So if you're listening to this podcast and you want to give it a try, head over to LarClean.com. and use code THINKING10 at checkout to save 10% off your order. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Caleb Potter and Life Unlimited Coaching. One of the best things that you can do for your personal well-being and your business, believe it or not, is getting your health and fitness on the right track. Caleb helps you do that by ditching the yo-yo dieting, getting the results you want, eating the foods you love, and living life on your own terms. In fact, she's even given our listeners today a free meal prep hack guide. You can check out that link in the description of this podcast. You can also check out all of her other coaching at lifeunlimitedpro.com. So go check out Kayla and get your life on track. Thank you so much for listening. Cool. All right. Well, welcome to the podcast, Jordan.
Yeah.
Appreciate you being here.
Have me on.
Yeah. We've been trying to do this for a while. I know Cassidy probably would have wanted to be here too.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Now I know what Cassidy does as far as nutrition. Is that part of your business as well? Or what else do you do?
Yeah. We kind of work together. We kind of help people with their health problems. We help them change their diet. And then we also kind of help them understand who they are. I'm what you call an iridologist. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before.
No, tell me.
But we can get into that because that's really fascinating. So iridology is the science and practice of analyzing the iris in the human eye for certain genetic strengths and weaknesses. The iris is kind of like a reflex map of the body because your eyes are connected to your brain, to your spinal cord, to your endocrine system. So it's got kind of a hold on everything that's going on in your body.
Interesting.
And certain areas of weakness will show up in your eyes. So for me in particular, I've got weaknesses in my thyroid, in my adrenals. And by knowing those things, you can know where to support your body before it even becomes a problem. So we kind of do that with a lot of our clients as well. And we find that's really helpful to get to the cause of some health problems rather than trying to be like a doctor where they're chasing around symptoms and trying to manage the symptoms. Let's just go straight to the cause and
figure out
help support the right way.
And so you do that through like this, the eyes, the iris. Mm-hmm.
So what I'll do is I'll take pictures of people's eyes, like really high quality zoomed in photos of their eyes. And then I'll go through and analyze and say, okay, this part right here in the adrenals or the pancreas is genetically weak. So that's going to be an area that this person's going to struggle with. So let's get you the right stuff. Let's get you on the right foods, the right kind of, you know, herbs and supplements where you can support your body the right way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's insane. So you guys deal with a lot like gut health, nutrition, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What's probably, what things are you actively fighting in the mainstream that are common out there as far as like gut health, as far as like nutrition, because there's a lot of things that I've seen come up where it's like, you know, like brown rice, for example. Mm-hmm. So like everybody thinks like brown rice is super healthy for you. Mm-hmm. And then that just makes you wonder why all the Asian, like I'm Polynesian, right? So like why all the Asian and Polynesian countries have been taking that husk off for like thousands of years and being okay. And so you're like, you kind of find out like, oh man, so brown rice maybe like isn't the healthiest. Maybe white rice is okay in certain things. But like what for you are some big things that you're actively fighting against?
Some of the big things more in recent years has been fruit is bad.
Fruit is bad?
Yeah, fruit is
bad. Yeah, that blows my mind.
That's one of that the craziest things out there.
Yeah.
Like there's so many people today that are getting on like the keto diet, the carnivore diet, where they're just kind of limiting those those carbs, those good carbs from fruits. And, you know, I know there's some, you know, various fruits that you can have on like a keto diet that are low glycemic. But that's one of the big things is not eating enough fruit. Most people don't get enough fiber. And really that's one of the biggest things for gut health is getting lots of fiber from fresh fruits and vegetables. Those are the top two sources of dietary fiber that's good for you. Mm-hmm. They're also prebiotic. So they're going to help nourish and feed the gut flora in your gut. And a lot of people just aren't getting those. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the biggest hurdles we have meeting with people is, hey, let's get you some more fruit and vegetables. It kind of seems crazy to say that.
But. Yeah, that blows. Well, because I hear a lot of the times is like, fruit is bad because of all the sugar.
Right.
And I go, well, like, I mean, I'm not a nutritionist, but even I would be like, well, there's a difference between like good sugar, like real sugar and the stuff that we get like on the shelf. It's not the same thing for the, like in most cases.
Yeah. The interesting thing about fruit is that it's really high in fructose. You know, most fruits are. And fructose will absorb into the small intestine walls and it doesn't put a strain on the pancreas to help lower your blood sugar. So by the time you eat the fruit, you're already, it's already being absorbed into your body, like just immediately. And it's not putting a strain on your pancreas to secrete more insulin to bring your blood sugar down. So, I mean, that's, that's one of the things that most people don't understand, particularly people with diabetes. You know, I have family members who are diabetics and, you know, my wife and I were telling them, hey, you should eat lots of fruit. It's really good for you. And they're like, oh, my doctor said that's really bad. And then they tried it and they're like, wow, I feel amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Like I have a lot of doctors in my family. Mm-hmm. So it's always interesting, but, that is a weird one where you're like, well, you can, it's different, right? Like, I am the kind of guy who like, I'm a menu guy. So this is what I mean by that. Like, I just don't take anything off the menu. So like one of the reasons that we went to Cassidy, your wife at the beginning for my wife, which actually helped her out a ton was I was like, look, we're paying for insurance. We're paying for all these things. I might as well pay, you know, your wife, whatever it was at the time, because it's either that or go to the doctor and I can go to the doctor for free or whatever. Right. And so I was like, oh, let's just try it. Cause if it doesn't work, then at least we got, some more foods. You know what I mean? Like the cost was, or I mean the benefit was outweighed the cost significantly when you compare it to like, it's either this or like we got one last thing and then we're going to end up in the hospital.
Right.
And it was really fun. It was really good because we got like, oh, you should, you know, you shouldn't eat this. You shouldn't eat this. And, or do eat more of these. And it's just crazy how your body really can change with nutrition. That's one thing that no matter like what anybody talks about, I'm like, there's no, to me, there's no denying that you can change kind of your whole life with the food, the right foods.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, you asked me what are the big hurdles. I think one of the other biggest ones is people just eat really nutrient poor foods.
Yeah.
So they eat really calorie dense, nutrient poor foods, and they're just not, their body's not getting anything from that. You know, all these processed and packaged things. And that's a real struggle because our bodies need all those micronutrients that you find in plants. And we're just not getting enough of those as a society. And I think that contributes to a lot of the diseases, a lot of the health problems that people are facing is just not getting enough nutrients.
I've always thought it was weird how we're more of a reactive health society than a proactive one.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that generally, obviously, you know, there's some things out there that, but generally speaking, like you only go to the doctor when something's wrong.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, people aren't proactively like, how do I prevent that kind of thing? And a lot of it is what you put into your body. I remember, I think one of the best piece of health advice that I got, and maybe you can shed some light on this. Cause the guy, he was pretty cool. He was a really cool guy. And he said, if you want, cause I remember one day we were just like, man, like we just felt tired and everything. And he was like, well, what have you eaten today? And we told him, and he was like, well, that's your problem. He was like, if you want to feel alive, eat things that are alive.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn,
that's tough.
Yeah. That is. Yeah, I was like, all right,
hard.
You win.
And actually that's what my wife and I've been doing the last little while is we're completely 100% raw living food.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, this is the best I've ever felt in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm 30.
Yeah.
And when I'm 30, I'm feeling my best. I wasn't feeling so good in my 20s. You know, I was feeling pretty good and I'm a small guy. I'm like, I'm not anything formidable or anything like that. But with my own health problems, it's been huge. For me, I struggle with things like adrenal weakness, thyroid, like I mentioned. Mine's a little more overactive. So that's why.
Is that hypo or hyper?
Hyper.
Hyper.
Yeah.
Okay. I think my wife
was hypo. Really fast metabolism.
Oh, okay.
And so I can eat like 3,000 calories a day and just burn through it.
Yeah.
If I don't eat 3,000 calories, I lose like 5 pounds. It's crazy.
That's sick.
So with eating, right. Okay. Most people wish they had that problem.
Yeah.
But for me, eating a lot of raw living food has helped to slow down that metabolism, which is interesting.
Yeah.
When I was eating lots of cooked foods, my metabolism was just so fast.
Yeah. Very interesting how that kind of works. And I think it's worth noting on this, just because we have listeners, that every body is different.
Yeah,
right. And
absolutely.
Some might work for, mm-hmm. work for one might not work for the others, but that's okay though. But that's why I'm a menu guy. Yeah. It's like, to me, it's kind of like, well, there's literally nothing bad that can happen if I go raw for 2 months.
Right.
Like I'm Polynesian. We like meat. All right. So maybe I'm suffering a few days.
Try some raw meat.
Yeah, actually we do. Actually, I do eat a lot of like fresh raw tuna. My wife was freaked out about that. I was like, no, you can eat sand. She's like, you have to cook fish. I'm like, no, you don't have to cook fish. I think that's one thing too, like where you put, I think, and it's just probably legal stuff too. But like when people are like, you know, raw fish has all these problems. And I'm like, no, because like my ancestors, we've been eating raw fish forever.
So right.
We'll be all right.
You're still here.
Yeah, we'll be okay. I think that's fine. What kind of, if there's some like general health advice, like, I mean, I know you get like really specific, but like, what are some good, like general tips for like good gut health? Good, like, because Amanda's story was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was on the podcast twice, talked about how, you know, she solved a lot of her problems with food, mm-hmm. like eating the right food.
Yeah. One of the big things I think for anybody is actually to make sure that you have good bowel movements.
That's what Amanda was talking
about. That is the number one thing for gut health. If you're not having a bowel movement at least one time for each meal that you eat a day, you're constipated.
So you're talking about like going
to have it in the same day.
Okay.
Within 24 hours, you should have a bowel movement for every meal that you've eaten within that 24 hours.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, that is kind of that's the old guideline about bowel movements. Now I think like the medical recommendation is, oh, you should have one once a day.
Yeah.
But historically that hasn't been the case. You know, I've talked to registered nurses who are, you know, toward the end of their career, you know, they're pretty old. They've been around for a long time. And they would tell me that, you know, when there was a patient who was not having a bowel movement, they were like, oh, we need to give them an enema. Like, this is a really big problem. And the younger nurses were like, why would you do that? And these nurses were like,
what do you mean? Why would we?
Because they're not eliminating. There's toxins that are in there that need to come out. And so getting more fiber, I think, is really important. We talk so much about protein in our society. Oh, you got to get more protein.
That's what my wife is fighting right now.
But 97%, I think that's the figure. I can't remember. So don't quote me on that. But it's around that area. That many people are fiber deficient in America.
Interesting.
They don't get enough fiber in their diet.
You got to get more fiber.
Yeah. So more whole fruits and vegetables, as much as you can. Like, you don't have to have that for a meal like I do, but you should be having, you know, a lot of it each day.
Like uncooked raw, like.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Here's the problem, man. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you, it's gotta be sexy to eat.
Right.
Like, the problem is, it's like I see that stuff and I'm like, I don't want to eat that, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to eat that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It brings up some philosophical things in my head once I talk about like, well, that'll kill you. And then I'm like, okay, well, anyway, but what are some things, what are some ways like you can really like
dress it up
and like make it.
So one thing that my wife makes a lot of times, that's really good. We'll do like a fruit bowl. Sometimes she'll make like a date sauce to go on top of it.
Dates are good.
So it looks really pretty. It's really delicious too.
Yeah.
So you get like some mangoes, some bananas, some apples or whatever you've got. And then just
I don't have a problem with the fruit. I have a problem with the veggies.
Oh yeah. That is the harder part.
Cause you're just like, dang, I can't do this.
I can't do anything for you there. One thing that we really like to do is just make some guac. And dip some veggies in guac.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we do with veggies.
Yeah.
We'll hide them in like a smoothie too.
That's good.
It makes it easier.
Yeah.
Just a ton of fruit. Okay. And a ton of greens or something.
Tell me if you have an opinion on this, because I heard this once.
Yeah.
That it's different. Like a banana, just, you know, regular banana, like raw banana, is not the same as when you blend it up.
Correct. Yeah.
I blew my mind.
Yeah. With smoothies, it will spike the blood sugar more than if you're just eating it on its own. So for people who have like diabetes, it might not be the best thing, particularly type one.
To like blend it up.
Yeah. And then drink it, because it might spike your blood sugar too high.
Now, what happens when you blend up a banana?
It changes the composition of it. So it's more readily assimilable.
I see.
You don't have to chew it up.
Or break it down. Because even when you chew it, it's not mush. You're still having to break down quite a bit of it.
Exactly. Okay. So when you do have a smoothie though, what you should do is chew it and swish it around in your mouth to allow the saliva enzymes to start breaking down the food before it goes into your stomach. Mm. That makes it easier to digest. That just helps prepare it for the stomach. And with your food too, you should be chewing a lot more. We've actually had several clients who are like, oh, I have just such bad gut health and I'm having all these stomach issues. And one of the first things we talk to them about is, how long are you chewing your food?
That's why.
Sometimes just by changing how long they chew their food, a lot of their issues go away.
Just
chewing longer and making sure that by the time you swallow your food, it's in a liquid form.
Yeah.
And then it's so much easier to digest.
That's super interesting.
So even if you are having a lot of cooked foods, a lot of meat, dairy products, as long as you're chewing it up a lot better, and so it's liquid by the time it's going down, you're going to have a lot easier digestion time.
Yeah. You mentioned dairy. That's a big one. I had this experience when I was younger. So it was kind of weird. I got used to a lot of these stuff things, but I grew up in Iowa and milk from the store is not the same as milk from fresh raw milk.
Right.
Like I know all these people are like, oh, humans don't drink, you know, we're the only one to drink milk from another. I'm like, but raw, I've seen people's life change with like switching. So there's a crazy story that I had personally. So we were buying store milk. Like when my daughter turned one, they were like, you can give her milk, a whole milk or whatever. Yeah. So I go and we're like, cause you know, we wanted to do that. And it was bananas. She was literally growing. Like we're in places that she wasn't supposed to grow.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's gotta be the milk. So I went to whole raw organic milk and it went away like almost instantly. And she was actually feeling better and like she started to crawl.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is insane. That's insane.
Yeah. And the laws around like raw milk and stuff are pretty crazy in some places too.
What do you mean? Oh, like being able to buy it.
Yeah.
You can't. That's right. It's like illegal.
Yeah.
That's right, dude.
So you have to know someone.
Yeah, I grew up in Iowa. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so they were really like, I don't know. I'm not incriminating anybody and I plead the fifth. But I remember being on farms and seeing that like raw milk, and it didn't look the same. Like it was like a yellowish color, right?
Yeah.
And that's also crazy to people. I'm like, this is milk. They're like, that's bad. I'm like, it's not bad, actually.
Right.
I'm like, this stuff's actually good for you.
Yeah. Really, anything that's pasteurized is not good for you. So even like juices at the store, because they're destroying the enzymes that are in that juice and in the milk too.
Yeah.
When, you know, they're pasteurizing milk and that kills that life. Like we talked
about. Yeah. Because it isn't anymore.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. That kind of was trippy for me because I was like, that's when I really learned like that there's something wrong with that. Like a lot of hormones in that milk.
Yeah.
That were just very weird to be part of because not a lot of people think about it. And then I've never experienced this, but I've heard stories from close friends who are like, they'll eat, they're lactose intolerant here, but then they go to like Italy or something and they're not lactose intolerant anymore. Yeah. Like they can eat pasta and cheese
too.
Yeah.
Many clients who are here, they're like, I can't touch bread. I can't touch any wheat products. Yeah. They go over to Europe and they're fine.
And you're like, what the heck, dude?
What are we doing?
What the heck?
Yeah.
Man? I don't know. But it's the same with the brown rice thing. Like my wife for a long time was like, brown rice is healthy for you. And I'm like, I know white rice isn't the best for you. I was like, but like literally people do this with their hands and they break off the brown.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, Asia's not a really unhealthy country. Yeah. Or continent, right?
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know, man. Something's not adding up, dude. And I want to get your opinion on this because I like hot takes. Do you remember, and it sounds like we're about the same age. It sounds like we're all about the same age in here. Do you remember the food pyramid?
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Which one?
Good one, because I only remember one. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the one from growing up, but I think since that time, they've changed it like...
It's changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's my plate or something. Maybe you've gotten rid of that. I don't know.
Well, because like, I just remember hearing a lot of like health, experts and gurus. They're like, dude, the food pyramid was like the worst thing that could have happened to kids.
Totally.
But that's wild, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of think that, the government shouldn't be in the business of giving out health advice.
I agree.
But that's just me.
I also don't think they should be in the advice of, they just be giving financial advice either.
Yeah. For thousands of years, we as humans have known what to eat.
Yeah.
Just instinctively.
I think intuitive eating was something that I learned. Yeah. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And like your body will help you.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're craving something, there's usually a nutrient that you need in that thing that you're craving. Your body knows that that's where you got it the last time you had it.
Interesting.
And so your body's like, go eat that thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily that you need that food. Like if you're like, oh, I'm craving pizza. I just need pizza. It's something in that pizza that your body is starved of, some kind of nutrient or whatever. Because I mean, there've been stories of women in particular, when they're pregnant, they have all these crazy cravings. That's their body telling them that they need a certain nutrient. And so I've known people who are like, I just had this really strong urge to go and lick like a tire. I don't know why, but there's something in there that filled that need nutritionally. And so after she did that, she felt great.
Like a what? A tire?
Tire. You said a tire? Something like that. It was something to do with the road.
All right.
Like that's pretty
crazy. That's weird. Okay. Fair enough. I do understand the craving thing though. I do understand like when your body's like, hey, you know, you need this, like, I heard, do you know this one? Ice, when they chew ice,
mm-hmm.
like that's like an iron thing.
Oh, I've never heard that.
I don't know, man. Hmm. Or Spotify is going to flag this episode, but whatever. I don't care. This is a cool, but it's cool though, because I think what the general message is though, I think is like, you just got to kind of figure out what your body needs and that we can do a lot with our health just based on the foods that we eat and like trying things.
Yeah.
With it, which is, that is something that I've seen. And I don't understand why. I mean, I do understand, but I don't get why so many people buy into the fact that like, you have to wait till something goes wrong to like take care of yourself, you know?
Right.
You can like keep going. And one thing for me, like for a while, like I was like, my knees are pretty bad. Like I played a lot of sports and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, well, you need to do like low impact stuff. Bikes and stuff. And I actually ran into a trainer who was like, no, dude, you need to run. You need to run on your knees to make them stronger. And I was like, well, I hate running, but I'll try it. And yeah, it ended up having like fixing a lot of my knee stuff because I was just like, your body needs to, you don't need to like coddle it. You need to like
get
through it, you know?
Exactly. With a lot of types of injuries too. I mean, obviously there's some where you need to rest, but for a lot of injuries, you got to still move.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to heal.
Yeah.
Properly.
Yeah. Yeah. And your body has to like feel it. Right. Yeah. Cause your body really is amazing. I think that's one thing that I've learned too, is like our bodies can do really amazing things even when we mistreat it.
Yeah. They're smarter than we are. Like that. That's how I feel. My body knows what's best for me, even when I don't.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. How do you kind of tap into intuitive eating? Cause it sounds all cool and it sounds great, but like I've had food addictions in the past and it's like my body, my brain and body weren't talking the right way.
Yeah.
Right. So like, how do you kind of, and I only bring that up, like that's kind of an extreme side, like food addiction is not the same thing as intuitive eating. But like, obviously some people might mistake those two things. Like, you know, like I crave a double cheeseburger. That's probably not me. That's probably not my body telling me the right thing. Right.
Yeah. So I think a lot of it comes down to being in tune with your emotions as well. I think a lot of the eating that we do is driven by emotion sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I recognize this in myself, you know, over the past few years when there's something going on in my life that's not very easygoing, or something, when there's something really stressful mm-hmm. in my life, I find that I want heavier to digest foods. And yeah. I recognize that. And sometimes I have to make the choice like, okay, I'm really not doing well right now. I need to kind of eat something heavy to kind of numb that feeling right now. And other times I'm like, you know what? I recognize that there's this stress in my life right now and I don't need to eat something really heavy. I need to try and push through and not get mm-hmm. into those cravings. Because I think we all go through that. I think we all have some kind of food addiction to some degree. I don't think it's just certain people that struggle with that. I think most of us kind of have some of those mm-hmm. Feelings and those desires. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's something that we have the choice to either overcome that or sometimes give into it. And I think there's a time for both, mm-hmm. depending on what's going on in your life.
Yeah. Like manage it.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of like the word control.
Yeah.
Because it just never made sense. But managing that, yeah, because I get what you're saying there. Sometimes you're just like, dude, everything, this sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to do it. Because that's how I felt sometimes. Because I'm like, and that's where the philosophical part in me goes like, well, what's really, you know, what is death when you just suffer while you're alive, right?
Yeah.
And we don't need to go into that. But anyway, it's just funny because, yeah, I think when you like are just paying attention to how you're feeling and then like what's going on around you. And then just like, I, you know, tell me about this one. There's one that I kind of found. I don't know if intermittent fasting is the right word for, I know some people do that, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about eating less. Mm. Like for me, one thing that kind of changed my health was like, I just realized that I was eating so much, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I was like, I don't need 3 meals a day with 3 snacks in between. And I don't need whatever. Right. Like,
yeah.
you know, like I, so most mornings I don't eat breakfast. It's not an intermittent fasting thing. It's like, when I eat breakfast, I don't need to or yeah. whatever. I don't feel like I don't want to.
Yeah. A lot of times when I'm feeling like sick or under the weather, I'll fast. I'll feel like my body's like, I don't want food right now.
Yeah. I felt that.
And so I'll fast. And actually get over it a lot faster because your body can, and this is kind of a philosophical approach to illness and things. Your body can either spend its energy detoxifying the body, and that includes processing emotions as well, or it can spend its energy digesting your food. Mm-hmm. And so when you're sick, it needs to detoxify. And so if you're not eating food, it will spend that energy detoxifying and you'll get better faster, mm-hmm. or even just eating like fruit or water fasting. Those are great things to do.
Yeah.
That I've seen the most results for when I'm not feeling well. But then when we're, you know, the conventional wisdom is when you're sick, oh, just eat a bunch of soup, eat some chicken noodle soup. That'll make you feel better. Right.
That's what everybody does.
Saltines, crackers. I have found that I get better much faster when I don't eat anything. Yeah. And I just drink water or I just eat fruit, than when I'm having like a ton of stuff. Cause I think, you know, my mom was like this when I was growing up, like, oh, you need to eat food. If you're sick, you know, you got to make sure you're eating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I have a friend who
calls. But why is it the kids are like, I don't want to eat anything?
Right, yeah.
It's because their body's telling them, hey, don't eat anything.
Don't eat anything. Yeah. What is that called? I work with an influencer. Her name's Tyler Bender. She calls it the almond mom epidemic. It was like, you know, if you feel hungry, you're probably just thirsty. Like those, that line of thinking.
Yeah.
where it's like, well, there was some good health advice in there, but there's also a lot of really bad health advice in there. One thing you mentioned about fasting that we're talking about, I thought it was interesting. I've done a few fasts in my life where they're like 3 or 4 days, like water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you go no water the first day mm-hmm. and then you start introducing water for the next 3 or 4 days. And, it's actually not as bad as you mm-hmm. might think it actually, you go like, it was bad for me because of like, I mentioned like some food addiction,
yeah,
but it was mental. And that was part of it. It was just like, I'm not starving myself, but your body doesn't need food. Yeah. Okay. And I'm just going to say this. It just depends. Right. But that was for me what I found. Like my body didn't need food that often.
Yeah.
And I could go 4 days. And actually by like day three, I had like a lot of day three, I had like a lot of energy. I was actually fine. And that was actually the best time I've ever slept too.
Oh, really?
Through the night.
Wow.
When I hear people with like sleeping problems and I try to do this, I'm not perfect at it, but whenever I've had sleeping problems, I go to bed on an empty stomach. Like I don't eat dinner because if I'm in a fasted state or whatever,
yeah,
I don't wake up.
That's great.
Like my sleep apnea goes away.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I did that one time.
Don't eat food.
I was feeling kind of sick one time. This was several months ago. And so I was like, I'm just going to fast. Mm-hmm. And so I fasted and I got over it that day or the next day. And then I was like, I'm just going to keep going and see how I feel. And I was planning on not having much energy, being kind of weak and lethargic, but I felt great. I was just drinking water and that was it. Mm-hmm. And I had tons of energy. I was super happy. I was feeling really good. So yeah, I think we eat too much a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And water's great. I mean, we're like, what, 70% plus water?
Well, and I think it's just cool to kind of get in those habits because now I know, like, I don't have to eat. And I know that if I don't eat for, you know, 12 hours or whatever, like, nothing bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
So if, like, we get on a plane or, like, you know, every once in a while I'll be in that situation where, like, whatever we're eating, maybe the plane or maybe the party or whatever just is dog shit. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
I just, like, I don't eat.
Yeah.
Just give me some water. I'll be fine. Like, but it's cool because like, I know it's not a big deal.
Right.
I'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, and if for I don't eat
like
that
me, meat, it's sometimes a big deal. Where I have to eat 3000 calories a day.
Oh, well, that's right. That would suck, dude.
When I'm consciously like, okay, I'm not going to eat and it's going to be fine.
Yeah. But for me, it's kind of like, yeah, I don't need to, I don't know. And the whole calorie thing is very weird to talk about too, when it's like,
yeah, that's another,
you know, the 2000 calories a day or so much protein or whatever, like that is always kind of strange because it just depends. Again, it's just a bit like Michael Phelps was in the best shape. And did you remember seeing that picture of his breakfast?
Yeah.
He was training for the Olympics. I was like, holy crap.
That dude went through so many calories.
Well, you have to. And
right.
Well,
he's burning them.
Well, and then I learned that water actually, your body in water actually burns calories more. That's why swimming is so different because like, but I don't know the science behind it, but I know like when your body is in water, you burn more calories than when, if you were just like running or something like that.
Yeah, I think I heard that one.
Yeah.
One time. I mean, everybody is different.
Yeah.
We're all built differently. And being an iridologist, I get to see that all the time. I see people's different genetic constitutions is how they show up in their eyes. Some people have really, really strong genetic structures and other people have really weak structures. So the person who has the stronger structure, they're going to be able to push through stress, like physical, mental, emotional, a lot easier than someone with a really weak structure. And I mean, that doesn't mean that one's better than the other. I mean, the person who has the weaker structure, they've got an early warning system. When something's wrong in their body, they're going to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the person who has that stronger makeup, they're not going to know. And they're just going to keep pushing until one day something break.
Yeah. Well, and I think what's interesting that you brought up there is like, I think in general, I only changed the subject a little bit, but in general, it's like, you're just different. Like, that's why I've recently kind of taken to the whole, like, I don't like the term good and bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like weaker or stronger, like that's not good or bad. It's just like, all right, you know what you need to do now.
Right.
And you know what you need to do now. Mm-hmm. And like, that's it, dog. That's all. I think people just get so caught up and like, they get these, you know, connotations in their head about whatever. And I'm like, that's why I've tried not to use that. Like, I don't use that with my kids anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm like, it's not good or bad. Like, we don't know how this is going to play out. So let's go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And so I enjoy that. But, all right, before I let you go, because you've been really generous with your time and I'm really glad we got to do this. What are some things that people could start doing today? I know you mentioned fiber, but just to, you know, if somebody's not feeling good, how could they start to feel a little bit better? Is there like a trick or a tip you got?
Yeah, I got a few. Number one, drink more water. We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
That's a huge one. Most people don't drink enough water. You should be you know, there's a lot of different figures on how much water you should drink.
Yeah, because I have the bladder of a...
Yeah, me too.
Like a ant. So yeah. If I drink a gallon of water a day, I'll be on the toilet all day.
Generally speaking, you know, this isn't like medical advice or any kind of diagnosis, but typically if you're waking up to go to the bathroom at night, your kidneys are in trouble. And so you should be drinking a lot more water so that you don't have that problem. That's one of the number one ways to resolve that. But that's going to help with things like digestion, your energy, your digestion. What was the other one I was going to mention? Oh, sleep too. That's going to be a big one. At first, you will have to go to the bathroom a lot more, but over time that will go away. So drink more water. Number two is get more fruit and vegetables in your diet. Even if it's just like one meal or having some fruit with a meal, that's great. Eating more salads too. Dark leafy greens are one of the most important things that you can get in your diet. And then the other one I would say is to make sure you're getting enough rest at night. I think a lot of times business owners and people that are entrepreneurs, they think that they can cut their sleep and just keep going and grinding. That hustle culture.
So
that can be a real problem for your health. And that will bleed over into your professional life as well. You know, I've seen really successful people who are just driving themselves into the ground, and then they have to take like a ton of time off to recoup for their health. Mm-hmm. It's like, which would you rather? Would you rather just have like a ton of consistent time where you can get in the zone every single day? Or would you have to take like a month off because you had a nervous breakdown? You haven't had any sleep for several days. I know personally people who are like that. And, you know, if that's how they choose to live their life, that's great. But I'm saying, hey, get good sleep at night, and then you'll be able to be more effective during the day. Your digestion will actually be better because your adrenals will not be pumping so much cortisol in your body to try and keep you awake. And you'll have a lot better digestion. That'll really help your gut health too.
Mm, I like that. And where can everybody find you if they want to know more?
They can find me at on Instagram. I'm at the Alfalfa Male.
That's clever. That's cool.
Because alfalfa is actually one of the best herbs that you can eat as well.
Oh, that's cool.
The Arabs called it the father of all foods.
Alfalfa.
Yeah, it's really rich in iron, calcium, pretty much every mineral and nutrient out there. So you can find me on Instagram. I talk about a lot of herbal and diet things. And then you can find me at spiralhealthandwellness.com, where my wife and I help coach people how to change their diet, how to optimize their health.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.